Today's sermon is entitled Cleansing of the Mind. Cleansing of the Mind. Something we all need to take very seriously. Now, I'm sure that most of you in here have a computer. Today's world and the technology of computers today is absolutely amazing. You know what they can do with computers. See, I go back to pre-computer days. As a matter of fact, I remember back in the 1980s, and I think it was the late 1980s, I was doing some postgraduate work at the University of North Florida. And I previously in doing college work, I remember getting a typewriter out, and I'm sure many of you, some of the older people, remember having to type everything up on a typewriter to submit term papers and things. And if you made a mistake, you had to back up and retype the whole thing all over again. So I got a Tandy 1000. I know, anybody here remember a Tandy 1000? I see a couple people back there, put out by Radio Shack. And boy, I tell you, what a wonderful thing it was to have that Tandy 1000. I mean, it's obsolete technology, but it was great not to have to re-sit down and retype stuff all over again. But you know, computers have the ability to store a tremendous amount of data. As a matter of fact, I know we've heard about this one being built out in
Utah.
The one out in Utah that they apparently is going to store just unbelievable amounts of data. And some of the data that we store in our computers, some of it's good, some of it's bad. It depends on what the owner puts into that computer. Keep in mind that everything that you put into a computer is permanently stored unless that computer is completely destroyed. And I think most of us know the FBI and other technically savvy individuals, certainly people with more knowledge than me, they have the ability to recover anything. If they can get that hard drive, they can recover. We all hear about the IRS and Lois Lerner and hers is destroyed so that they can't get a hold of it. But anyway, they can bring all that stuff back up. One problem with a computer is when it is infected by a virus. Now, I'm sure some of you have probably encountered that over a lifetime, but if you're not careful and you log onto a virus, you can destroy that computer. Now, what's really interesting to note is that each one of you has the greatest computer in the world, and it's right between your ears. From the time that you're born, and perhaps even at some point after conception, your computer, your brain, starts to accumulate data. And this information gets stored. So everything you see in an entire lifetime is recorded in the brain. So when you watch a TV program, a movie, or some other event, it gets recorded in the brain. The same holds true for everything you hear. You know, if you listen to radio programs, music, or maybe just conversations from other people, it gets recorded in your brain. Same also holds true for all your senses, sense of smell, sense of taste, sense of touch. Problem with the brain, unfortunately, is the same as a computer. Depending on what you put into that brain, viruses can be created. And these viruses are dangerous and can destroy an individual. Now, we could laugh about that. We could go into Jeffrey Dahmer and other people, and when they interviewed these people, they talked about the garbage they put in their brain. And I can't remember the one that was down in Florida. But anyway, every bit of information that goes into your brain is there permanently. It's there. It's just like a hard drive on a computer. Now, the brain has the ability to recall this information that's stored. Now, I will tell you, when you get to my age and it gets a little cluttered with all the garbage that you put in over the entire lifetime, that it gets a little hard to recall that information. I have to laugh. Anybody that's ever been to my house knows that I've got a workshop, and that workshop is about 2 or 3 football lengths away from my house. I can't tell you the amount of times that I leave the house and I go to the workshop and I get over there and go, why am I here? brain won't record it. But most of it is there. Anyway, we live in Satan's world. Let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians 2 while we're at it. We're told that Satan's world, and of course he's the prince of the power of the air. You know, I'm going to skip over that. That's the wrong one I wanted to turn to. But it does tell you in Galatians, in Ephesians, that he is the prince of the power of the air. But he all controls the airways. He controls them. And he infects our brain with viruses that are destructive. Now, we'll get into how he does that. But again, a lot of what we see in this world, what we gather, what we put into our brain, causes viruses. Let's turn to Galatians 5 as the one that I wanted to turn to. Now in Galatians 5 and beginning in verse 17, it says that we have a war going on between the spirit and the flesh. It says, for the flesh, that's verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. It's a war going on. And the things are opposed to each other so that you cannot do the things you wish to do. Understand that last part. You cannot do the things you wish to do. And beginning in verse 19, it spells out the viruses in this world. And it's called the works of the flesh. That we may have taken in over the years through these infections of the world. Now let's just briefly go through those. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're here. They're something we can see, feel, touch. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, strifes, jealousies, indignations, contentions, divisions, sects, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such things as these. Now, I understand that most of us are going to say, I don't do these things. Probably a true statement. I don't commit murder, I don't commit adultery or fornication. However, if you have ever watched a movie that has witchcraft in it, for example, and you've ever witnessed a murder, or you've ever witnessed adultery, these things are in your brain. They're recorded. They affect the way that you think. And we are what we think. We are what we think. And living in a world, in this world, we will be infected with these viruses that can lead to sin. Don't kid yourself. The information is there. And unfortunately, we all sin. Paul reminds us in Romans 3 and verse 23, you don't need to turn there, that all have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. And John warns us in 1 John 1 and in verse 8, if we say that we do not have sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth isn't in us. So don't kid yourself into thinking that Satan can't influence your thinking that leads to sin. You know, we're told by Paul in Ephesians 5, I knew I was going to go to Ephesians 5, let's go to Ephesians 5. Just one over. Paul tells us in verse 12 of Ephesians 5, he says that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the world rulers of darkness of this age. And again, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. We're not talking dealing with human beings here. We're talking spiritual powers that we deal with. And sin affects our fellowship with God. You know, we were created to have fellowship with God. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but in Genesis 1 and in verses 26 through 31, we see where God had a personal relationship with Adam and Eve. And he gave them instructions on how to live, what their responsibilities were, what that they were to do. Personal relationship. They were literally walking and talking with God. But then, We see in Genesis 3 how Satan introduced sin into their life and it broke that fellowship with God. That relationship was gone. And mankind has followed that path ever since. Let's notice how sin affects the children of God. I'm going to turn to just a couple things in Psalms. Sin will bring anxiety and a lack of assurance. Let's turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Now in Psalm 32, and beginning in verse 1, first of all, it talks about the blessings. It says, "Blessed is the man whose transgressions," something already done, "is forgiven, and whose sin is covered." And verse 2, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no gall." But notice the pain and the tragedy that he experienced because of that sin in verses 3 and in verse 4. "When I kept silent, my bones wore away through my groanings all day long. For by day and by night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." Selah. And Selah means we're told to think on that. Then in verse 5, he goes on and acknowledges his sins, but what a price he's already paid for these sins. And we know the story, and, you know, David's sin with Bathsheba cost him the life of his child. But let's also notice how sin robs us of the joy of the Lord in Psalm 51. A few pages over. Robs us of the joy of the Lord. In verse 8, it says, "Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." And notice the next verse, 10. "Create in me a clean heart," a clean mind, a clean spirit. "O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." He said, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." And again, he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and let your free spirit uphold me." It robs us of joy. Sin robs us of the joy of the Lord. And we won't turn there, but sin also keeps us from God hearing our prayers. We're told in Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And as I said before, sin cost David, who had God's Holy Spirit, sin cost David the loss of his child. Pretty heavy price to pay. You know, sin's effect the children of the parents, and the parents are affected by the sins of their children. Husbands are affected by the sins of their wife. Wives are affected by the sins of their husband. And sin can result in death. And sin not repented brings judgment. Now, rest assured that we reap what we sow. We were in Galatians. Go back to Galatians for just a minute. Galatians 6. We reap what we sow. Now in Galatians 6 and verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for what a man sows, that shall he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh," these are the works of the flesh that we just talked about. The works of the flesh that we read in one chapter back in Galatians 5 shall reap corruption from the flesh. I want to remind you again. I'm not, you know, anybody out here, you know, most of us would say, I don't commit adultery. I don't do witchcraft. I don't, I'm not doing fornication. But sin does affect the children of God, so we need to be purging out the negative workings of the flesh. We've got to get rid of this stuff that was introduced into our brain by Satan. We need to be clean. We need our brain clean. So how do we do that? Well, you're probably wondering why I got this thing up here. I just wanted to do a little demonstration. Maybe a magic trick. No, I'm only kidding here. But I did want to do you a little demonstration here this morning. This is a full glass of water. I asked Clark to fill it to the top, which he did for me. Now, what happens when I drop a pebble into that glass? Anybody know? What happens?
It's fuller.
Well, it's close. Anybody? Thank you. You got it right. It displaces the water. So, drop another one in. It displaces the water. Now, if I were to tell you that that glass and that water represents all those negative things that you put in your brain, the works of the flesh that you've watched on TV, you've heard through music, you've heard through conversations, and you put, I'm going to call this the Word of God, and I drop the Word of God in, what happens? It begins to displace some of those things that are in your brain that you've built up over the years. The Word of God, reading your Bible. The Word of your God, meditating. Word of your God, studying. These things are extremely important. We must clean our brain of the garbage that we put in over the years. Have you ever had some unexpected sinful thought just pop into your mind? I know I have. I'm sorry. I've lived a life. I've watched movies I probably shouldn't have watched. You know, I've listened to music that maybe I shouldn't have listened to. And it influences how we think. You see, all sin does come from the brain. Very clear. All sin comes from the brain. Your body just responds to what the brain tells it. Body's nothing. Just like an animal's body. Only difference is the spirit of man that we have in us makes us different than an animal. So the body just responds to that stuff that is in your brain. And you think evil, you sin. You think evil, you sin. It's as simple as that. Remember what Christ said in Matthew 5 and verses 27 and 28. Without turning there, it says, "You've heard what was said to those in ancient times. You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart, in his mind," where it all comes from. So we need to cleanse as much of the garbage that we can out of our mind. We need to get rid of it. Again, it isn't going to go away overnight. It goes away by cleansing of the mind, by using the Word of God. And just like a computer, if you put garbage into your computer, what do you get? You're going to get garbage out. But the more we add the Word of God, the more we replace the negative things of this world. So how can we clean the mind? How can we do it? How do we? What's the answer? Let's turn to Psalm 119. Turn to Psalm 119. Now this in Psalm 119 is where this psalmist searches his soul. He searches his soul for a solution to this problem. Let's begin in verse 9. It says, "With what shall a man cleanse his way?" Now notice, this psalmist wants to be clean. He's tired of sin. He has probably broken many resolutions. I have, in my life, broken resolutions. So can we identify with this psalmist? And this is a lifelong problem that we need to find victory. The psalmist gives us the answer when he says, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. According to thy word. You know, we need the Bible, the Word of God, to clean up our mind. This is a full lifetime long occupation. It'll never go away. There is no retirement from this job. There's no retirement. We don't just sit back on our laurels and say, oh, everything's going to be okay. I don't need to worry about this anymore. In John 15 and verse 3, we were told, now you are clean through the Word. You are clean through the Word. That was John 15, verse 3. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. I think I can smell some of that food up here. I guess I'm going to have to cut this short. In Ephesians 5, and notice what the cleansing process is. Now this is the cleansing process. Begin in verse 25. Now, many of us have heard this before, but husbands, love your own wives. That's a command, by the way. In the same way that Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. Now notice, however, verse 26, how that is to be accomplished. So that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it with what? With the washing of the water by the Word. The washing of the water by the Word. In other words, the cleansing of our spirit, represented by maybe the water, cleansing it by the Word of God. And in verse 27, it gives us the end result. It says that he might, speaking of Jesus Christ, so that he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blame. You know, there's a lot of powerful detergents out there in the world today that will clean just about everything. And we always struggle with trying to find cleansers. There's plenty of them out there. They get better all the time. But you know, there is no stain. There is no stain too tough to cleanse sin from the Word of the Bible, from the Word of God, to eradicate that stain, that sin. Daily Bible reading is vital. It's vital to having victory. We can't ignore it. Now, if I went back to Psalm 119, without turning there, but again, to see the attitude of the psalmist in verse 10, where he said, with my whole heart I have sought thee, with my whole heart. You know, Mark was talking about, when you get involved in something, you want to be successful, you have to pour your whole heart into it. And that's what this psalmist says. He sought him with his whole heart. Notice that he hears and he heeds the message of the cleansing of his life. He responds with the words, whole heart. You see, there's no hypocrisy here. There's no holding back. I'm going to give my whole heart to cleansing my mind of the stuff that's in there. And everything I do, all my efforts, will be channeled toward that cleansing. What is your attitude? What's your attitude? Do we still watch movies that have examples of adultery? Murder, witchcraft? That's a question you answer yourself. Do you listen to the lyrics of songs that contain violence, sexual implications, envy, greed, and other works of the flesh? Do you do that? It was funny. My wife mentioned something this morning. You know, I remember distinctly Woodstock. Woodstock was, I think she told me, it's the 45th anniversary of Woodstock. Well, we know it took place at Woodstock. I was absolutely astounded. I was shocked. I was in the military. I was actually over in Vietnam. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching the newsreels. We didn't get computers and stuff. We had to get a little newsreel, came on a film, and we'd watch it. And I looked at that and I said, what is going on in my country? I had a wife and children at home. My wife said she wanted to go to Woodstock. You know, I won't even make the comment I gave to her on that, so I better leave that one alone. Well, no, I won't. I said, you know, you watched all these people, and they were stripping their clothes off and smoking dope and doing all those things at Woodstock. Well, now it's 45 years later. Do you want to see all them people running around without their clothes on? Sorry about that. I couldn't help it. But everything you do, all your efforts should be channeled toward cleaning yourself. Remember, your brain is going to put out what you put into it. What are you going to add to your brain? The works of the flesh or the Word of God? Which are you going to do? And again, going back to Ephesians 5, where we were at before. Ephesians 5, and let's begin reading in verse 3. It says, and notice here what we are not to be filling our brains with. What we are not. It says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, do not permit it even to be named among you as is fitting for saints. Are we doing that? Is there anything forbidden anymore in film? Is there anything forbidden anymore? You know, I brought that topic up many a time, and anybody my age or around there goes back and remembers the television programs and the things going on, the I Love Lucy's and Father Knows Best, and, you know, you didn't have blatant sex and, you know, people stripping their clothes off. You can't turn a TV on anymore that doesn't have this kind of thing going on. What are you putting into your brain? Is anything any more forbidden? TV, songs, and other modes of entertainment. They're corrupt. These things are not even to be named among us. And we can't fill our brains with that stuff. Then verse 4 says, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not becoming. These are things we are not to be doing. And then in verse 5, it warns us why we must clean up our brain. For this you know, that no fornicator or unclean person or covenant person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Is it worth it? Is it worth giving up the kingdom of God to watch some of the entertainment that we see today? And don't kid yourself. You watch it, it's in your brain. And I'm telling you, there's times I know myself, some thought pops in my mind and I know it came from something somewhere. Then in verse 7, we're warned not to be partakers of them. And in verse 11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You see, we need to be cleaning that garbage. We need to be putting the Word of God in and in until we gradually keep pushing all that other stuff out. The more you put the Word of God in, the less you're going to have the other stuff affecting your brain. Notice in verse 12 how serious this problem is. Just how serious is this problem? For it is shameful even to mention the things being done by them in secret. You know, it's absolutely amazing that entertainment that was totally unacceptable, 50 years ago is okay now. I don't know, I don't watch any sitcoms. I watch too much news probably and occasionally, you know, flip channels. But I'm telling you, is there anything anymore even in sitcoms that you don't have to have a homosexual? You know, I mean, let's hate the sin, not the sinner. So I'm not stressing it in that vein. But it's absolutely amazing that what was unacceptable now is open game. And notice in verse 14, he almost shouts this out in verse 14. You who are sleeping, wake up and arise from the dead. You see, we're to come out of this world, and we're not to be partakers of the works of the flesh. Not to be part of us, not to even be around us. We're not supposed to even be affiliated with any of it. We do indeed have a war going on between the flesh and the spirit. I don't think anybody could argue that. We cannot fill our brain with the garbage of this world and not be affected. The only way we can cleanse our mind and be clean is to replace what is there, what is currently there, with the Word of God. So give serious thought. Give serious thought to what you fill your brain with, because you are what you think. You are what you think. But you know, God's message has a positive ending. It looks like we're going to get to eat a little bit early. But God's has a positive ending. Satan has a way of presenting sin. Have you ever noticed he presents it as alluring, it's enticing. Otherwise, why would people watch all this stuff? But the end result is always this negative stuff that I mentioned here. In the brain. Filling your mind with the ways of this world is dangerous, it's destructive, it creates viruses, it can then destroy an individual. So I'm going to close with following the advice of the Apostle Paul in verse 15. He says, "So then, take heed that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as those who are wise."